So we're teaching through this epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. And as we have pointed out in other series in this teaching, this is one of the three epistles wherein that verse says, "And the righteous by faith shall live." Or, you know, as some translations have it, "the just shall live by faith." The word is righteous. This is a book the Hebrews letter, that is, the subject is Jesus. Its purpose is to show that by faith we shall live. And that by faith we are called righteous. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time in review. We're about to enter into the seventh chapter, and I'd have you know that in the original epistles, there was no chapter and verse. So if we go to the 20th verse of the sixth chapter, this is for referencing, it says, "Whither the forerunner is entered in, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him." A little time on this, and a little not only Bible reading, but understanding is required. But I think before we go on, for best edification, because in so much of the church, this one called Melchizedek in this passage, this one called Melchizedek in Psalm 110, this one called Melchizedek in Genesis 14, doesn't add a lot of edification to our faith, because, you know, Paul will go on to say of this Melchizedek, who he's without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And because of Paul's description of this one called Melchizedek, all kinds of understandings have been put forth. And I'm going to make an attempt through reading scripture with some understanding, which, by the way, I received from my teacher, Dr. Gene Scott, some of this understanding. I want to present something to you. So, it says, of this same guy, Melchizedek, but he, Melchizedek, whose descent is not counted from them that received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. We go back, let's go all the way back to Genesis 14. Where this name Melchizedek is first introduced. Read the passage. This is after Abraham returned from the slaughter of the kings. And verse 18, Genesis 14, says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he, the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him," that is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, "and said, Blessed Abram," his name is not changed to Abraham yet, "and he said," and Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, "Blessed Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hands." And he, that is Abraham, gave him, that is Melchizedek, tithes of all. Now, no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. You go all the way to the book of Malachi, the instruction of God is, "Bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and see," God, throwing down a challenge to all of us, "if I don't pour you out a blessing that you can't contain." Now, I'm paraphrasing. Please forgive me if I'm not giving exact King James quotes. But here's the point. The storehouse, that's where you get your meat. What's the meat? The meat is the Word of God. We talked about earlier, or Paul talked about earlier, that we ought to be prepared or mature enough for solid food, for meat, for the teaching of God's Word. And not this pablum stuff of, the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, of repentance from dead works. Paul wants to get into the meat. And he's getting into the meat. And he's going to talk about this guy Melchizedek. for whatever reason, Paul either did not know or chose not to disclose the relationship between the true flesh and blood relationship between Abraham and this one called priest of the Most High God called Melchizedek in these passages in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Hebrews. But to whom do you pay tithes? You pay tithes where you get your meat. Where do you get your meat? You get your meat from the Word of God. You get your meat from the one who delivers, who by the gift of God edifies God's chosen people, the teacher. Now, I'm not gonna go into it all. I'm gonna give it to you. If you want to go check me out, please do. I love for any son or daughter of God to spend time discerning the word of the Lord. So often, you know, we read through the Bible. We read the Bible through in 82, 92, 2002, 2016, and really don't come to some understandings that I believe God put in His Word for us to understand. So I want to take you all the way back to the 9th chapter of Genesis, the 38th verse, wherein it says, "And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And I want you to jump forward to the 11th chapter, to the 11th verse. Now let's go to the 10th verse. It says, "And these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood." And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, it doesn't go on to say much more about Shem. But if you go through, excuse me, what's reported in this chapter, here's what you're going to come to find out. That Shem lived after the flood 502 years. If you go on and reckon the genealogy, I believe it's like the 10th from Shem, Abraham is born. And if you do the math, you'll come to find out that Abraham was born. Bear with me, I hope I'm not boring you. I just want to show off God's faithfulness. I want to show off God where we do come to count on Him for everything and in everything. So Abraham, by the numbers, is born 292 years after the flood. And it tells us that Abraham lived for 175 years. So that means that Abraham died 467 years after the flood. But it says of Shem, son of Noah, that family of faith that God saved, that he lived 502 years. So this blows people's minds when they're confronted with these numbers. It said, this 11th chapter says, Shem outlived Abraham by 35 years. It says, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And understanding of the relationship through the whole Word of God that one pays tithes to the teacher, and that son of Noah was still alive. He's called here in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, king of Salem. That's king of Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't give us a complete world history, folks, but there are evidences galore that things went on that aren't necessarily made clear by simple reading of Scripture. But here's the conclusion. I don't want to spend a great deal of time on this. Abraham's called the father of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. There is an extra biblical book, which is mentioned at least twice in the Bible, called the Book of Jasher. In the Book of Jasher, it tells a story that I'm not going to go into the details today, whereby when shortly after he was born, Terah, Abraham's father, sent him away, and he sent him to the patriarchs. Who were they? Remember, Noah was still alive at the time of Abraham's birth. He lived 350 years after the flood. Abraham was born 292 years after the flood. Noah was still around, and so was Shem. And not that I need Jasher. I think enough evidence is in Scripture to understand how Abraham got his faith. He was taught by the patriarchs. By the time Abraham conquers these kings that are described in the 14th chapter of Genesis, Noah is dead, Shem is still alive, God's representative, the one who taught Abraham about God, whereby Abraham began to faith God, and the acknowledgement of the relationship between Abraham and this guy called Melchizedek, who is Shem, Abraham, paid him tithes, and Shem blessed him to further describe or define the word blessed in this seventh chapter of Hebrews. It says in the sixth verse, but he whose descent is not counted from them, that is, the priests, the Levites, the sons of Aaron, received tithes of Abraham and blessed eulogesos, good words, Abraham that had the promises. The patriarchs go beyond Abraham. He had teachers. The principal ones were Noah and Shem. And here is a verse which gives witness to these verses, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. They're all quoting Habakkuk 2:4. But this key verse, Genesis, goes all the way back to Genesis. And he, it says, that is Abraham, I'll read it from the King James, and he believed in the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. As I told you before, I hate pronouns. Let's put the names in there. And Abraham, and I'm going to translate to the Hebrew, from the Hebrew, and Abraham amen, that is, had no doubt in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to Abraham for righteousness. We're talking a gift of God. We're talking what God in and through Jesus Christ has done for us. We're talking about the power of the gospel in that for faith, God gifts us his own righteousness. Back to the Hebrews. Now, consider how great this man was. How great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. I'm going to read for a while. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he, we're talking about Melchizedek, we're talking about Shem, But he whose descent is not counted from them that received tithes of Abraham, who is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and spoke blessings, good words. Blessed Abraham that had the promises. Here's a verse that's always stuck with me. It says, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the greater. How often in our daily activities, especially, in the church, do we have those people saying, oh, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. You know, from this verse and 66 years of experience, I'm bothered. It bothers me to constantly have people take that spiritual one-upmanship and by somehow or other, and some are very sincere, others, you just need discernment. Presumptuously take a position to their brothers and sisters. Oh, let me bless you, brother. Let me bless you because, my position is. Better than yours. Just that's free. The eighth verse says, and here men that die receive tithes. But there, he of whom it is written that he liveth. So it says in the fifth chapter of this same book, in the sixth verse, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That designation lasts forever. He goes on to say, and as I may say so, Levi also, who receives tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father, that is Abraham, when Melchizedek met him. Now, please give attention to this. Give ear. Earnestly listen. Diligently hearken to these next verses. We're going to read them and then give a conclusion. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. Who's the he these things are spoken of? Jesus. Of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord Jesus sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of, King James says, of an endless life. The Greek gives, I think, even a more specific picture, but after the power of an indestructible life. For he that is God testifies, Psalm 110, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, this next verse, for there is verily, truly, a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. One translation has it, for on the one hand, there is a setting aside of the former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness. Why? For the law made nothing perfect. Boy, I think, you know, if you want to know one of the reasons I emphasize the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, when so many say, well, we don't know. Man, I think this is the same guy that wrote the epistle to the Galatians. Listen! The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw near to God. But the bringing in of a better hope, the gospel, folks, the power of God unto salvation. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Man, I had a tough time understanding that one. Let me give you a few different translations of this. The new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. Another translation has it, and it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oaths. None of this happened. What? This bringing in of a better hope. None of this happened without an oath. Others became priests without an oath. We're talking about Jesus here. For those priests were made without taking an oath. But this, Jesus, with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent, will not change, will not have an afterthought. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Last week, we tried to expand understanding in that 17th verse of the sixth chapter that talked of the heirs of the promise, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed, we said, guaranteed by an oath. We, though it's a different Greek word, it has the same meaning. By so much was Jesus made a guarantee of a better testament. How do I want to say this? Well, let's go on. We'll hopefully get around to bringing this all together. By so much was Jesus made a guarantee of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There had to be a lot of priests because these guys died. But this, because he continueth ever, has a unchangeable priesthood. An alternative in the margin of the King James Bible says, or a priesthood which passes not from one to another. You know, as one high priest died, another by relationship became high priest, and another and another and another and another. But this did not pass from one to another. This priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, after the order of Shem. In the midst of this chapter, what is being said comparatively was, by the law, the descendants of Aaron through Levi, or Levi through Aaron, became high priests. But one before the law, not named in the genealogy, if you will, of Aaron, is called high priest. Jesus is called several times our high priest in the preceding chapters. And one could question and say, well, as Paul says in this chapter, well, but he's of Judah. How could he be high priest? Here's the point. God has the right and the power, thereby the ability, to call high priest whom he will. And Jesus called an high priest, not of the law, but of God. By so much was Jesus made a better guarantee, or made a guarantee of a better testament. We have, and I don't believe it's by mistake, a Bible, and it's divided in what's called the Old and the New, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have a word in our English language which we say the last will and testament. By law, if it's done properly, no man changes the last will and testament. But there is plenty in this Old Testament enfolded that is unfolded in the New Testament, and it is something that no man has the power or the ability to change. We have the guarantee of a better testament. He's talking about the weakness, not only of the priest, but of the law, in the 23rd verse, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able, and I've said this before, this word being translated able in the Greek is in the middle voice, that is, for his own benefit. Wherefore Christ, for his own benefit, is able also to save them to the uttermost, that is, completely, forever, entirely, through all time, that come, speaking of us, for our own sake, unto God, and that's a gift, unto God by him, that is, in Jesus Christ, seeing he, Jesus, ever lives to make intercession for them. He's there to make that which is required for eternal life with God, to make it complete, to hit the bullseye, to be spot on. That's what this word intercession means. He makes intercession. He fills up that which is lacking. This word in the Greek is described by commentators. The word is in exano, in exano. And they say it is the antonym or opposite of the Greek word hamartia, which means miss the mark. Christ is able to hit the bullseye for us. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Listen, who needed not daily, as those other high priests of the law, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, speaking about those priests, and then for the people's sins. For this, speaking of Jesus, he did once when he offered up himself. Listen, for the law makes men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is perfected forevermore. What's all that? This is saying a lot. This is saying a whole lot. But I have every confidence that the reason Paul inserts these passages into this epistle, where he talks about the relationship of Abraham, who is called the father of faith, his relationship with Melchizedek, Shem, his teacher. God is giving a type for all of us, the ones faithing God, that is, the ones acting on his promises, that is, the ones who are trusting God, it says, Abraham, father of faith, Jesus, captain of our faith, that is, first goer. These are both different than those of the law. And to any of you who might argue, well, the tithe is of the law. And by the way, let's cut through the religious lingo. A tithe means a tenth, very simply. But those who say, well, tithing is of the law, well, you know, this relationship that God put on display between the father of faith and his teacher called Melchizedek, who we understand through right understanding of Scripture was Shem, his teacher. He gave him a tenth of all. That's long before the law, folks. And the response of the ones whom God has graced and gifted faith, that not of themselves, it's a gift of God, pay tithes in recognition and out of gratitude and thankfulness for all that God has given them. They recognize the source. I hope this morning has given the listeners of this message some better understanding of this seventh chapter, some better understanding of the relationships that have been pointed out by God in His Word. That are continuing with confidence of that guarantee in Jesus of a better testament, but and in the bringing of a better hope. By which we draw near to God and recognition of the outworking, that is, that which we do in the flesh, recognize with thankfulness all that God has provided, and we do that through the tithe. It's not a work of the law. It is an act of faith. And God willing, next week we're going to get in and talk even more about Jesus. And that's the God School for today.